maybe 10, 12 years ago. And it was an Indian that was, you know, involved with Babylon. Next thing you know, one article became another article, became another article, became a sefer. And Baruch Hashem was very nice. So the topic really touches on many different subtopics. It's not as if it's like one Indian per se, but all of these subtopics are in one way or another connected to the way that Torah was given and the uniqueness of Torah, the uniqueness of Kedushas Yisrael, the evolution of Torah, parshas of Torah, and looked at through the prism of Shabbos as, of course, one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, which represents so much about what makes us unique as a people. Shabbos, of course, defines our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Beini Ubein Bnei Yisrael Osi La'olam, as does Matan Torah, the Yisam Li Segula Mikol Ha'amim, as we discussed yesterday, Sukkim and Chumash. And yet, what is very interesting, I'm giving this as a little bit of a hakdama to what we'll start looking at. What's very interesting is that, you know, that Matan Torah is not necessarily, although we look at the moment of Maamar HaSinai as a defining moment, which it was, Maamar HaSinai and what it represents, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to us and the Aseres HaDibros, certainly that was a unique, extraordinary moment in history. And we look at everything that we are from then on as linked in some way to that moment in history. But the truth is that you can really look at the Bechira of Klal Yisrael, not just from the one moment of Aseres HaDibros of Maamar HaSinai, but you can first of all look back in time. You can look back to Yetzias Mitzrayim as the beginning of Kedushas Yisrael, Bechiras Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim for the sake of giving us the Torah, but there was already a selection of Bechira that took place at Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the fact that there were mitzvahs that were associated with that experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we know in Parshas Bo, there were many mitzvahs that were given to Klal Yisrael just at the time that they were about to leave Mitzrayim. We know Korban Pesach, Achilas Matzah, Kiddush HaChodesh, of course. So that was already given to Klal Yisrael before Matan Torah. And if you wanted, you can go back even before that. We know that Avraham Avinu entered into a covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was given Bris Milah. So in a certain way, you could say that Bris Milah already defines the mitzvahs of Klal Yisrael through Avraham Avinu, if he personified Klal Yisrael. So there was already a Nesinas HaTorah of sorts backed by Avraham Avinu. We could talk about Yaakov Avinu in terms of Gid Hanasha. So exactly what is the nature of the building of Klal Yisrael, the building of mitzvahs and the parallel processes of Bechiras Yisrael, Kedushas Yisrael, Nesinas HaTorah, Kachena B'mitzvosecha. Now, there's another aspect to this, and that's Shabbos itself. Shabbos is, of course, again, one of the most defining mitzvahs of the Torah. It's one of the Aseres HaDibros. And yet, we know that Shabbos preceded Maamar HaSinai. Shabbos was given before, actually, the Torah was given at HaSinai. And if you look at specifically two points in history, you can identify the mitzvah of Shabbos with both of those points in history prior to Maamar HaSinai. And now I'm talking about Shabbos as a mitzvah. The fact that there was a Shmiras Shabbos that took place, you could argue Avraham Avinu kept Shabbos, the Avos kept Shabbos, Yosef of Hatzadik kept Shabbos. That's not what I'm referring to. They could have kept Shabbos like Eina Mitzvah Va'oseh, but I'm talking about Shabbos as some kind of a mitzvah, a giving of the mitzvah to Klal Yisrael. So in what sense can you say that Shabbos was given prior to Matan Torah? So in one respect, you can define the mitzvahs of Mara as mitzvahs of Klal Yisrael, which included the mitzvah of Shabbos. Because Chazal have a tradition, we'll see the Mekoros soon, that mitzvah Shabbos was given to Klal Yisrael in Mara, where a few mitzvahs were given right after Kriyas Yamsuf in a place called Mara. Now, that's not as explicit in the Chumash. You have to try to find evidence and a drasha to learn it out. What's more mefurish in the Chumash about Shabbos before Matan Torah is what we're familiar with from the night of the Seder, when we say Dayenu, we say Ilachilano Saman, Ilanasan Lano Shabbos, which means that at the time that the man was beginning to fall and Klal Yisrael began to be sustained with these supernatural Lechem in Hashemayim. So in that connection, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also taught them about Shabbos. And in a certain way, you could say commanded them about Shabbos. We know that the man came double portion on Friday. It didn't fall on Shabbos. They were told not to go out and gather man on Shabbos. They were told to bake everything that they had to bake on Friday for Shabbos. And so in a way, and it says that people rested. So there was a certain Shvisas Shabbos and a fulfillment, you could say, of a mitzvah that occurred there as well. So Shabbos was given before Matan Torah, and yet Shabbos was given at Matan Torah. So part of what we should think about, again, from a lot of different angles, is the nature of the mitzvah of Shabbos as it evolved, you could say, for Klal Yisrael, and what does that indicate about the nature of Kedushas Yisrael? What does it indicate about the nature of mitzvahs as they were given along different stages of time? And again, this is a very broad topic. We'll try to mitzvahsim ourselves up to the point that we can today and tomorrow. And again, one who wants to read more about it, obviously there's a whole sefer that you can look at. Okay, questions so far before we begin anything? Just any questions? I'm happy to interact a little bit with the chevra. So you don't have to wait for me to say a lot and then speak up. So I'll give you a chance at this point. Not that we have anything you have to ask, but anything that you want to, you know, bring up before we start. No? You're all wonderful mekablim, but you should be an active mekablim, not just a passive mekablim. So don't feel like you can't speak. Okay. There's a lot of places that we could start. You have a packet, so let's begin with the first page, which is a Gemara and Shabbos, so it's very appropriate. It's also the Daf Yomi's Daf a couple of days from now. I think that they're on Daf Pei Aleph or so today. So this is coming up in about a week. So you'll have learned it before, okay? This is a very interesting Gemara on many levels. And we mentioned it yesterday in Shir, if you recall. Okay, so the Gemara, again, on here on Daf Pezayin, has an interesting machlokes that has to do with the pshat and the pasuk in Chumash regarding the journey from Rafidim to Har Sinai. That, in turn, has to do with a machlokes. The larger context of this Gemara is a machlokes, again, that we discussed yesterday, to Rav Yossi and the Chachamim. As we noted yesterday, Rav Yossi holds that Matan Torah took place on Zion Sivan, which was Shabbos that year. According to the Chachamim, Matan Torah took place on Vav Sivan, which was Shabbos that year. Both agree that it was Shabbos. That's the Shita and the Gemara. There's a Pirkei Rabbi Elazar that maybe says otherwise, that Shabbos, the Torah was given on Friday. But the Gemara says, according to everybody, the Torah was given on a Shabbos. But the question is, the calendar. Was Rosh Chodesh Sivan Sunday? That's of Yossi's opinion. So Shabbos was Zayin Sivan. Or was Rosh Chodesh Sivan on that year Monday, which makes Shabbos Matan Torah Vav Sivan? Okay. Now, as part of that Gemara, that Shaka V'Tarya, the Gemara quotes the following Braisa. The Braisa says the following words. This is where it says, Tashma. Okay, this is on the top of your page, just the end of Amid Aleph there. Pei Zayin Amid Aleph. Tashma. Shishi. Shishi b'chodesh, shishi b'shabbos. Okay, so this braisa is making an equation between three things. Shishi for something. We'll soon explain what that means. The sixth day to something was also the same day that was shishi b'chodesh, which was also the same day that was shishi b'shabbos. So A equals B equals C, right? Shishi to something, which we have to still explain what that something is, was also a sixth day to something else, which was a sixth day to something else. In other words, the second and the third something else are Shishi b'chodesh and Shishi b'shabbos. So obviously, that itself would be a contradiction to Rabbi Yossi, right? It says that the sixth day of the month was the equivalent of the sixth day of the week. That means Vav Sivan was Friday. So it's the Gemara, Kasha L'Rabbana. So that's against Rabbana. They hold that Shishi B'Shavua was was what? Again, Shishi b'chodesh, Shishi b'Shabbos. According to Rabbanan, Shishi b'chodesh was Shabbos. And here it says Shishi b'chodesh was Friday. Right, everyone hear that? So that's a kasha Rabbanan. Good? And for the Gemara, okay, Hanan Rav Yossi. The Gemara had earlier brises that the Gemara quoted that were Rav Yossi. This is Shitas Rav Yossi. So Shishi b'chodesh was Shishi b'Shabbos. Shvi b'chodesh was Shvi b'Shabbos was Shabbos. But this would be the Rabbanan. Okay. This would be the Rav Yossi letter. So this price goes like Rav Yossi, that the sixth of the week was the sixth of the month. But now we have to ask ourselves, what was the first Shishi in the link? The three things that are equivalent. The sixth day of the week was the sixth day of the month, which was also the sixth to something else. Shishi Lamai. Okay, Shishi Lamai means the first Shishi of the Braisa means it was six to something from before. What was that? So Gemara has two Shitas. Rava Amar Lachana Yasan. It was the sixth day to their having become encamped in Har Sinai, which means that they arrived at Har Sinai. It was the sixth day to their arrival at Har Sinai. So if you're counting back from the day of Matan Torah, from the day of Shishi Bachodesh, which was Shishi B'Shabbos, it was also Shishi to Chana Yasan, to their arriving in Har Sinai. And the other opinion, Vachava Yaakov, takes it further. He says it was L'Masa'an. It was the sixth day to their leaving Rafidim. In other words, we're hearkening back. The day before Matan Torah for Rav Yossi, that Friday of Vav Sivan was, according to one opinion, the sixth day to their arriving at Har Sinai, which they arrived at Rosh Chodesh. The other opinion is it was the sixth day to their leaving Rafidim, which means they left on that day, sixth day to their leaving from Rafidim. So now, that means, according to the first opinion, they arrived at Hasinai on Sunday. They didn't necessarily leave Rafidim on Sunday, right? According to the second opinion, which is Rav Achava Yaakov, they left Rafidim on Sunday as well. So the sixth day of the week was also the sixth day to their leaving Rafidim. They didn't leave on Shabbos, they left on Sunday. So what is this machlokes about? This machlokes between Rav Achava Yaakov and Rava, whether we say that they left Rafidim Sunday and also Rabin Sunday, but they left Rafidim on Sunday, or they actually left Rafidim on Shabbos, they only arrived on Sunday, so we're counting not to the Nesia, we're counting six to the Chanoya. So what is that Machlokas about? The Kamiflegi, the Shabbos de Mara. The Machlokas is revolving Shabbos of Mara. Oh, so the Gemara introduces Shabbos of Mara. Dichsiv, kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. It says in Aseres HaDibros in Beschanan, Shomar Yom HaShabbos L'kadsho, kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. So what is the words kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha adding to the Pasuk? You should observe Shabbos like Hashem commanded you. Of course Hashem commanded you. So what does it mean? V'amar b'yudah marav. So we have the following explanation given. Kasher tzivcha b'mara means like I previously commanded you before Har Sinai in Mara. That's how we interpret Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. So now that we know that they were given the Tzivui of Shabbos in Mara, now comes the Machokes between Rav and Rav Achava Yaakov. Mar Savar Ashabbos Ifkud Atchumen Lo Ifkud. One opinion says they were commanded regarding Shabbos, yes, but they weren't commanded regarding Tchumen. For now we'll translate Tchumen the way we normally want to translate it. It means to leave beyond, let's say, Yud-based mill to travel. So they were not commanded about Tchumen. If they weren't commanded about Tchumen, then they would be free to travel from Rafidim on Shabbos. So then we could say that the Shishi, right, could have, what it was, L'chana Yasan, but didn't have to be L'nisi Yasan. The Nisi Yasan, it could have been the day before, it could have been Shabbos, because there's no problem traveling on Shabbos. Tchumen wasn't yet us. Umasavar, the other opinion says that Tchumen nami ifkut, that they were commanded also about Tchumen, that the mitzvah of Shabbos included Tchumen, which means they would have been forbidden from Mara, it sounds like, to have what? To have traveled on Shabbos. And therefore, to say Shishi, it's not sufficient to call this Shishi, this Friday, the sixth day to the Chanaya. It had to be also the sixth day to the Nesia, because the Nesia could not have taken place on Shabbos, it had to take place on Sunday, because they went usher to travel on Shabbos. That's the Gemara that we need to look at, okay? Looking at Rashi, just to explain a little bit in Rashi, says Rashi, the top Rashi, Lachanayasan, the opinion says it was 6 days to their encamping, Shahri Barosh Chodesh Chanu. They arrived in Bayachanu in Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh. Bahachi Kama, and this is now the Rice is what the Rice is saying. Shishi Lachanayasan, the 6 day to their encamping in Har Sinai, that's the first Shishi, Hu Hashishi Bachodesh. That was also that 6 day of the month. That Friday, which was 6 days to their encamping, was the 6 day of the month. Who Shishi B'Shabbos, which was also Shishi B'Shabbos. And that's Rabbi Yossi's Chita, that Vav Sivan that year was a Friday, which was the 6 day to the Chanaya, which means the Chanaya in Hasina was on Sunday. What does the other opinion say? Rachab Yaakov says, L'masan. Now, don't confuse Masan to mean that it wasn't the Chanaya. L'masan doesn't mean it wasn't the Chanaya. It was the Chanaya, but it was also the Nesia as well. Everything took place on the same day. Rashi, L'masan, af L'masan. Af L'masan means it was also the Nesia Rafidim also was on that Sunday. Shabayom, Shabom, Rasinai, Nasum Rafidim. The same day that they arrived is when they left. So what's the machlokas about? Did they leave on Shabbos and arrive on Sunday? Did they leave on Sunday and arrive on Sunday? What's the machlokas? Become Niflegi, Ravacha, Rava, the mitzvah Shabbos, Shanem Alehem B'mara. In the Tztavu ala Tchumin bo vayom olo. Were they commanded on Tchumin on that then or not? Tchsiv b'dibos achronos, shomas yom ha-shabas ha-kasho, kashet sivcha, shma mina, kodem ha-dibos nitztavu ba. They were commanded before the dibros. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Mara, the sif sham samlo chok u-mishpat. They were given mitzvahs, which includes Shabbos, that was what we said. At Tchumin lo efkud. So one opinion says they were not commanded about Tchumen. Helkach kishenasu merafidim nasu b'Shabbos. So they could have journeyed on Shabbos. Shelo huzn ruelech yosem alpayim amar. Rashi learns Tchumen is alpayim amar. They were not warned about Tchumen. So therefore they could have carried, they could have left on Shabbos. They just didn't arrive till Sunday. The other opinion says no, they had to travel on Sunday too. They couldn't travel on Shabbos because they did have the Issa Tchumen. Okay, one piece of Gemara, one small little piece of Gemara. Now, just in terms of explaining what Tchumen means, the Pashup Shad is, we're going according to Shitas Rabbi Akiva, that Tchumen de Orais. Tosus says, however, there's another way to interpret the Gemara. Tosus di Ramaskula Tchumen lo Yifkud wants to suggest that even if we hold the Lok Rabbi Akiva, it's machokis of Yakiva holds Tchumen del Raisa, whether that's Alpayim Mam or whether it's Yud Beis Mil, but the other opinion says no, Tchumen is not us in the Raisa, only the Rabbanah. So Ein Tzarech Lomar, somewhat of the machad between Yud Beis Mil and Alpayim Mam, that could also be Ein Tzarech Lomar the Asp of Yakiva, Dama Tchumen del Raisa. We don't have to make this Gemara go at Daman Damar. Da Mashma Lukui Alma, the Besina Lachol Apachos Yivkud at Tchumen. Because it sounds like, oh, before Sinai, they weren't commanded in Tchumen. And then they were commanded. So that sounds like Rabbi Akiva, right? So it's the Lav Dafka Nakat, so it would be a Rai like Rabbi Akiva. No, the Lav Dafka Nakat Tchumen. Elo Kolomar Hotzah. So it says the issue is about the Malach of Hotzah, Shayim Molichin Imahem Kor Shalehen. They would take all the belongings with them. So what's the Shayla now? Mar Savar Ahotzah Lo Ifkut. One Madame says they were commanded on Shabbos, but not on Hutzah. That's what Tchumen means. Tchumen is similar to Hutzah. Do not leave your place, means do not carry, do not go from place to place. Masava Ivkud. Tosas is an interesting question. L'maisa, where do we know the Issa Hutzah of Shabbos? So there are really possibly two makoros for this. One is a pasuk in Vayakel, when Moshe announced by the Mishkan not to bring any more material. But the other drash that the Tosfos now quotes from the Erev and Yud Zayin is a pasuk by the month. Al Yetzi Ish Mimkomo, which we could say means do not leave your place, but it could also mean Al Yetzi Al Yotzi, and not let it carry. So if you go with that makor, so it comes out that Hotzah would have become Usher by the month. By the month. Now when did that happen? That happened before they journeyed from Rafidim. So Tosa says, "Afagav the Pashas Man Ksiv Al Yetsa Ish Mim Komo, Vidashina Minei Hutsah, Vidperikam Ad Erevin, Iko Lameimar Sheacha Matan Torah Nemar Acha Shenasa Hamishkan." It could be that even though the pasuk is written in Pashas Aman, it wasn't said until after the Mishkan was set up. Kemosha Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu in Yatsim Senes Lufnei Ha'edus, just like you find in Pashas Aman, it mentions to put a jar of man in front of the aro of the Edus, which is only shayach to do after the Mishkan was set up. So why is it mentioned in Pashas Aman that wasn't yet a Mishkan? Mishum b'shayachi l'milu d'man kaspinu hasam. It's connected to the man, so it mentions something that's negiah for later. So too, the Isser or Yetze Ish, as Hutzah, could be, it wasn't said yet, well, when it was said in Matan Torah, but it's written by the man. That's if you hold that they weren't commanded on Tchumen, namely Hutzah, yet. So the pasuk is there, it really didn't apply to later, but it was written in Kolmo. Uman the Amar Ifkud. So what about the man that they were commanded for Mara on Hutzah? Again, have shaychis to the story of the man, so the Torah puts it in Pashas Haman. But either way, what Tosfos seems to be telling us is there's a pasuk written in Pashas Haman about Shabbos, which could be a source for the Isser Hotzah, but it's lav dafka that it became applicable written where it's written. It became applicable in one of two possible times, either before, meaning by Mara, or after, which is after Matan Torah. But the Torah put it in Pashas Haman. But the Shaila, therefore, in Agamara would be, was there an Issa Tchumen or Fetosis, was there an Issa Hotzah that existed from Mara? In which case, he couldn't have left to carry or to travel from the feed in Tassina and Shabbos, based on the Issa of Shabbos of Mara. That's the Shaila of Gemara. Okay, now, let's go to the top Tosfos.
Ready? Quick question?
Yeah, sure.
Why does Tosfos choose to not explain Tzvumin as Tzvum, like Rabbi Yochanan?
Because Rabbi Akiva is not necessarily the Shita that we accept the Halacha. So Tosfos would rather not have to pin this Gemara down like Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara learned that the Gemara means something not Tzvumin. There's another Tzvumin in Shonen. The Gemara might mean and Rabbah the Kumbat from the house named Mechamer. Mechamer is the Rasta, but it doesn't have Kores. So the issue with Mechamer, that means you cause an animal to transport something. So it's an Issa, the Torah includes a Sasa from Lacha, so there's an Issa of Mechamer, Mechamer, Abhemto. So the Gemara is, we think, would the Issa Mechamer, which is an Issa not of Malacha, but of non Kores, but the Issa Doraisa have applied from Arab because, as far as it's concerned, they could have avoided the public playing funny animals. If the Chamer was still out there, then they couldn't have done that either. So that's a story you don't want to learn. But the Issa Malacha, but Issa is not Kari's, and Issa is not Lamech, this Malacha is out of the Lord from Arab. The Pashtas of this Gemara, though, will seem to indicate that as far as the Lord's Malacha is concerned, right? Those parts of Shabbos, the Iker, Yitzhuah Shabbos, short no hate from Mara. There's something above that. What about Tur, Yakiva, what about Osame? One of the Malachas might be different than the rest, but Tzara stands up. Those suppose that Malacha grew in the beginning of the Shabbos. For whatever reason, Tzara has perhaps a little bit less intent of Malacha. It's more of a Chibosh Malacha. It's not informing the object, the SM, it's only it, whatever the Svar or Hezbollah would be, Tosfos says Hotzah might be one example of a Malacha that maybe wasn't part of the Isser, but every one of the Malachas would be. It doesn't have the Isser of an Onesh of Kares, but as far as the Malachas or 38 or for sure the Malachas, it sounds Kedavah Pashut that they were all Nohe from Mar. There's a problem.
Rebbe, you just started getting a little choppy, so maybe.
So give me the phone number. You have it handy?
Yeah, one second.
Is it 929?
Hmm.
can keep it going meanwhile. Like, cool.
Yeah,
929-205-6099.
And then do I have to do anything after that?
Yeah, probably.
Have to put in a code after that?
Yeah.
What's the code?
853-839-69251.
Okay, so let me close the audio for now here. How is it now?
It's good.
Okay. The only problem is I hear myself.
Yeah, maybe what Rabbi should do is take, not mute himself, but disconnect his audio. So I think if Rabbi hits the arrow next to the microphone on Rabbi's computer, not on the phone, on the computer, and Rabbi clicks leave computer audio. The arrow next to the microphone on the bottom left, and then it should bring up like a menu.
Okay.
And then. And then click leave computer audio.
Okay. Better. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. Thank you. It's the difference between one generation and the other. Okay. this Gemara has a lot that we can expand to. Let's start with the Tosis, and since we're holding by this Amud Gemara already, so let's look at the top Tosis. This is an interesting question that again, opens up the issue in a big, very big way. We talk about the mitzvah of Shabbos before Matan Torah, so I already told you before, we really could discuss two different points in historically for Klal Yisrael. We could talk about Mara. We can also talk about the story of the month. Now, the question is this. This Gemara doesn't seem to acknowledge the idea of two distinct points. The Gemara talks about the question of Mara vis-a-vis the journey from Rephidim to Har Sinai. Now, in between Mara and Rephidim, there's another place, and that's the month. Now, let's talk about the name of that place, even though it's not mentioned here in the Gemara, but it's going to... It's a pasuk in Chumash, really. In Parshas Beshalach, it doesn't identify the specific locale of where the man began to fall, except talking about Midbar Sin. But there is, in Parshas Masay, a list of Masos, and in that list, you have a place called Dafkar, a place called Alush, and then you get to Rephidim. So exactly where did the man begin to fall, so it's probably going to be one of those two places, Dafkar or Alush. Hazal, in that various midrashim, say it was a place called Alush. So now we know the man began to fall in Alush. There's a medrash that connects it to a pasuk in Vayera, Lushi Vasi Ugos, so it's a remez to the man that's going to fall in Alush. Anyway, a place called Alush, which is in Midbar Sin, just before they got to Rephidim. So we have Mara, we have Alush. In the Gemara here, it just talks about the question of what came in Mara, and then based on that, what's going to be as far as whether they could travel from Rephidim on Shabbos or not. Now, Tosus is going to bring in this next Nekuda. what was the quote-unquote first Shabbos that Klal Yisrael had as a nation? So this Gemara sounds like Mara would have been the defining Shabbos, the defining moment that they got Shabbos. So whatever Shabbos followed Mara would be the first Shabbos, because now they had the midst of Shabbos. But the problem is that there's another Gemara Tosis quote that seems to identify the first Shabbos as the Shabbos that is connected to the Yeridas Haman, which we would therefore call the place Elush. And how do you reconcile this Gemara that calls the Tzivoy of Shabbos by referencing Mara with the other Gemara? This is a kasha that Tosis asks and does not answer. So let's just see the whole Tosis, get the fuller picture. Kasha Tzivcha B'mara, the top of the Amud. So first of all, the drasha itself that says that they were given Shabbos and Mara is Kasha Tzivcha B'mara. This is in Parshas Veschana. The Entoma Minole de B'mara is good as Shabbos. How does that teach us that we're given the Tzivoy of Shabbos and Mara? Dilma Kasha Tzivcha B'Parshas Mon. The Askecha Dine Shabbos K'suvin Sham. Eifa Shetofu Eifu. Tosis is a simple kasha. What's the whole makor that they were given Shabbos and Mara? Kasha Tzivcha means I was commanding you prior to Sinai. No, prior to Sinai. Who says prior to Sinai means Mara? Eight prior to Sinai means in Parshas Haman. Because you see halachas of Shabbos are mentioned in Parshas Haman. So let that be the meaning of the Pasha, Kasha Tzivcha. So how does Chazal know the Darshan going back to the Mara? That's Tosis Kasha. Yeshlomar and Tosis Mishum the Bekibet of the Ein Nam Biksiv Kashet Sivcha. You see, there are two of the Asheres Hadipos in Beschanan that mention the words Kashet Sivcha Hashem Elokecha in connection to those Dibros. One is Shomar Shomar Shabbos Vitacho Kashet Sivcha Hashem Elokecha. The other one is Kadesh Avicha Nasimecha Kashet Sivcha Hashem Elokecha. So whatever the Kashet Sivcha is by Kibet of the Ein would be mistumed the same shot in Kashet Tzivcha by Shabbos. No, so when it comes to Kibbutz of the Ein, we don't have any other point of reference except a point, a place that the Torah says they were given Chokul Mishpat, they were given some mitzvah. So mistumed by Kibbutz of the Ein, the meaning of Kashet Tzivcha would be Mara. So therefore, by Shabbos, it would mean the same thing. That's Tosfos Perek. Yeshivah Mishum the Kibbutz of the Ein, not Mishum Kashet Tzivcha, mistumed. Okay. The Itmar Nosik Rav Yehuda at Harvayu. In the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it says Rav Yehuda gives you the memra of Kashit Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha B'mara, both on Shabbos and on Kibbutz of the Ein. So it shows you that it's because it means the same thing in both places. So we know Kashit Tzivcha means B'mara. Okay. Ask Tosis now the next kasha. The Yom Tomer. Now, by the way, just another stomach kasha that we should keep in mind. Rashi asked this kasha in Sanhedrin. Just once we're on this question, Kasha Tzivcha. How do you know to darshan Kasha Tzivcha B'mar? So I'm going to ask you guys a question. You tell me. If I ask you pshat in the pasuk in Beschanan by Aseres HaDibros, whether by Shabbos, whether Kibbutz of the Ein, and it says in the pasuk, Kasha Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, what would be your reading of those words in the Chumash? Would you start thinking, oh, I commanded you in Mara? What could these words mean? Question. What could they mean?
In the moment. Like, meaning just 2 minutes ago.
Meaning in Sinai. Let's be a little more specific. The words of Pashas, but even say even stronger. The words of Eschanan, of Aseres HaDibros, who's speaking those words in context, in the pasuk? Who's speaking those words?
Moshe Rabbeinu
is going over what Hashem had spoken. So, for all we know, Kasha Tzivcha means, as I commanded you in Sinai, Moshe is speaking in Abbas Moav, and he's telling Klal Yisrael, you should observe Shabbos as I commanded you, meaning in Sinai. So this is Rashi's Kasha in Sanhedrin. And Rashi learns, we may not get to it inside, Rashi learns that the words that Moshe spoke in Beschanan were actually words that were on the Luchos. Maybe not the Luchos Rishonos, maybe the Luchos Shmios, but they were part of the Aseres HaDibros itself. In which case, you can't say, as I'm commanding you in Sinai, this is Sinai. The Luchos are Sinai. So you have to assume that it's going back on something before, and that's the question. Where before? So the Gemara Darshan is going in Mara. This is what we know based on the Drasha Kashrut system. Now comes Tosfos Kasha, the Imtomar, another Gemara that sounds like the first Shabbos was a later Shabbos. Came to the Gemara, Itzkor, the Shabbos. If you tell me that they were commanded on Shabbos in Mara, Eicham in Perikol Kisvei, how can the Gemara say later in the Sefer Shabbos the following statement? The Gemara says, Elmoli Shomer Yisrael Shabbos Mishona, if only Kal Yisrael had observed the quote-unquote first Shabbos, Lo Shota Behen Uma V'Lasho, no nation would ever have the power to control them, to attack them. Shenema, because it says in the Pasuk, Vahi Vayom HaShiyotam Nam Loko, on that seventh day, with the mun, there were some people that went out to gather mun, they weren't supposed to. And soon after that story, we have Uksib Asrei by Yavo Amalek, that they went soon went to receive them, and then it says Amalek attacked them. So there's a connection. The juxtaposition between the fact that there were people who didn't keep Shabbos, and they went and gathered mun on Shabbos with Amalek, shows us that they would have been invulnerable to the attack of Amalek had they only observed the first Shabbos. But meanwhile, there's a side deal in this Lashon HaGemara. It says if they would have only observed the quote-unquote first Shabbos, the Amai Karolei Lahai Shabbos Rishona. So what are we referring to that Shabbos? The Shabbos now that Shabbos, let's keep our cheshbon a little bit in chronology. What Shabbos would that be in the calendar, presumably? So, if you have from yesterday, the calendar that I gave you can take a look, but if not, we'll do it outside. So there was the day that the mun began to fall, which was a Sunday. According to the Gemara Shabbos, it was 16th Aviyah. In other words, the 15th Aviyah, they arrived in Midbar Sin, like Kod HaOlos. The 16th Aviyah was Yom Rishon, the mun began to fall. On Yom Shishi is when they got Lechem Mishneh. And the Shabbos, the next day is when they shouldn't have gone out to gather mud, and there were some people that went to gather mud. So that would be the 22nd of Iyar. The 22nd of Iyar. Holding cup here, the 22nd of Iyar, so how many more Shabbosim till Matan Torah? From that Shabbos of the month, Chavdei Iyar, how many more Shabbosim? So the next Shabbos would be what? Chavdei Iyar. And Shabbos of Matan Torah, which would be either Vavra Zayin Sivan. So, right, so we're talking out two Shabbos before Matan Torah. And now, presumably, if we would normally want to understand Pshat here in the dates, Chav Beis Iyar was the quote unquote Shabbos Rishona that seems to be referred to in the Pasuk. And that's where they were in Alush. By the following week, Chav Tes Iyar, they were in Rishidim. What happened that week was, as we discussed yesterday, they needed water, Moshe hit the rock, they got water, and also Amalek came and attacked. That took a day or two. They had to fight Amalek. Finally, that Chav Tes Iyar Shabbos is either when they left Rishidim, or the next day, Rosh Chodesh, when they left Rishidim, and then the following week was Matan Torah. The Tosfos is asking that the Gemara says that on the Shabbos in Alush, which we're now assuming it's Chav Beis Iyar, that Shabbos has a name. That name is Shabbos Rishona. The question is, why call that Shabbos Rishona if they had already received Shabbos in Mara, which takes us back a little bit? Now let's work backwards. Right? Tesva V'yer, they arrive in Midbasin in Olish. But then you have before that, you have the 8th of V'yer, and you have Rosh Chodesh V'yer. And now you have to know where to put Mara in all of this. Right? Mara was sometime after Kriyas Yamsuf. They journeyed 3 days after Kriyas Yamsuf. They got to Mara. At some point in Mara, they got Shabbos. And there had to be at least a Shabbos after they got to Sibui in Mara that preceded Chav Beis Iyar. That's the thrust of Tosfos Kasha. So why would you call Chav Beis Iyar the Shabbos Rishona? There had to be something before that, after the Sibui in Mara, that would have therefore been enough to call that the Shabbos Rishona. Let's look at the words of Tosfos. Tosa says, the Gemara says, somebody throws Shabbos Rishona, so the Ba'am of a Lashon, Shenemba, he buys Yemeshi Yatam and Amlilkot, Oksibas Yiba Amalek, and my Karilai Shabbos Rishona, came into the Gemara in Stavu, the Holo Haisa Shabbos Rishona. So that Chabbos Iyar would not be Shabbos Rishona. The May Karak sees, It says in the pasuk, "Vayisu me'elim vayavou." That's the pasuk that says right at the beginning of Parshas Haman that they arrived in Midbar Sin. That means Elush. And what was that day? It was the day the Torah tells you the calendar day. The day was Tesvav Iyar, the 15th of the second month. The Gemara says the Osa Shabbos, the Osa Yom Shabbos Hayah. The Tosus says is at the very least, Hes Bavir would have been Shabbos Bishon. What about Hes Iyar? Tosus doesn't go that far back. He doesn't go back to Aleph Iyar. No, who knows exactly when Mara was, how long they were in Mara, when they gave him the Tzivoy of Shabbos. But I don't know about Aleph Iyar, if that was before the Tzivoy, after the Tzivoy. Tosus doesn't go that far back. Tosus doesn't discuss Hes-Iyar because, again, we don't know exactly the timeline explicitly, how long they were in Mara, when they got the Tzivui of Shabbos. So at the very least, though, there had to be at least Hes-Vav-Iyar, which would have preceded the Shabbos of the month, which would be Chavez-Iyar. So therefore, at the very least, there had to be at least one Shabbos before the quote-unquote Shabbos be shown of the Gemara. That's Tosus' first kasha. Now, this next kasha is very, very strange. I struggled with this a lot. That's not in the Sefer, but in another place I dealt with this. It's not as strange from the Pesukim. Let's read it and see what Tosus continues with. The old Makshim. Now here you have to have a Chumash to appreciate what this is saying. So if you have a Chumash, it's good. If not, try to anticipate what we're saying here. The old Makshim. What Tosus is about to say, I'll tell you outside. Tosus seems to be saying, this is how the Chachmash Manoach learns Pshat and Tosus here. Tosus is now about to suggest something very strange in terms of the Pesukim. That the Shabbos that those people went out to gather mud was the Shabbos before Matan Torah. The Shabbos that we would label Chas Tes Iyar. That's what Tosus, and therefore you have another Shabbos that you can for sure put before the quote-unquote Shabbos Bishona. Until now, Tosus was asking that there is a Shabbos of Tesvavir that preceded Shabbos Bishona, which would be Chavezia. What Tosus is now suggesting is that the Shabbos Bishona would have been Chavtesir, in which case we have two Shabbos that preceded the Shabbos Bishona. Where did Tosus get that from? And here it gets a little bit sticky with the Pesukim. Take a look. The old Makshim, the Masma Mitocha Psukim, the Shtei Shabbosos Hayu Kodem Mishona, Ishenasu Me'elen. There were two Shabbosos before Mishona, because Kishenasu Me'elen, when they left Elam and went to Midbar Sin, the Osa Yom, the Acher Osa Yom, Yor Lemamon. So that would be the Tesvav Iyar, that would be the first Shabbos before the Shabbos Mishona. When they arrived in the Basin and the man began to fall on that Sunday. But now, Uksiba Yom Ashvi, Yatlov Tulech and Mishneh. Now, that Yom Ashishi would be there for Chaf Aleph Iyar. But then it says, Vayanichu Oso Adaboke. And then it says, Vayom Moshe Echluhu Hayom, Sheshes Yomim Til Ketuhu. Moshe said, 6 days you gather man. And on the seventh day, there won't be any mud. Then it says, on the seventh day, now what does that seventh day mean? Does that mean the next day from the conversation with the Nesiim who came on Friday saying, why is it Lechem Mishneh? Or does it mean the seventh day referencing Moshe's words? Sheishas Yom Til Ketuv means you have to start a new week. The Moshe would be saying, Sheishas Yom Til Ketuv starting next week again. This week, is finished. Moshe is talking to them on the Chaf Aleph Iyar day, Erev Shabbos, which was Chaf Aleph Iyar, the next day being Chaf Ez Iyar. Moshe says, Sheshes Yom Til Ketuv means going on the next week. And then, Vayi Bayom HaShvi Yatsu on the Lukot, that means that would have happened on Chaf Tes Iyar. Mashma says, Shabbos Shvishis Acha Marahu. So that means that the Shabbos Mishona would have been not the second Shabbos after Mara, but the third Shabbos after Mara. So what Tosus is asking without a teretz, making the kasha even stronger, that how can you say that Shabbos Mishona was the Shabbos that we're talking about that they went out to gather man, if in fact Mara came before, which means you had either one Shabbos before Shabbos Mishona or two Shabbos before Shabbos Mishona.
Now, the first kasha, I understand, because the pashta says that the day that they went out to gather man was Chabezir, and Tosus would be asking that Hezvavir was preceding that, which would have been following Mara, because they journeyed from Elim to Midrashim on that Shabbos. So obviously, that was already a Shabbos that was preceding Shabbos Bishona. That I understand. But Tosus says further, makes things very problematic in the Pesukim. Tosus seems to be saying is that Bahi Bayom HaShvi means a week later. That Moshe is speaking to them and saying 6 days you're going to gather, and then there'll be no man. And now Bayom HaShvi, meaning starting to count again for the next week, which therefore pushes off the story of the people gathering man to seemingly the Shabbos of Chof Tes Iyar. And therefore you have two Shabbosos before the Rishona, because you have the Tes Vav Iyar and the Chavez Iyar, and then you get the Shabbos Rishona. This is the old maxim of Tosfos. Now, the reason why this is very difficult, if you read the Pesukim, is for the following reason. First of all, Mehecha Tesi Vahi Be'yom HaShvi means Shvi to Moshe Rabbeinu's words. Pashup Shat, Vahi Be'yom HaShvi means The next day was Chavez Iyar. They went out together. That's the Pashup Shat, the Pashup. But it's more problematic. Because if you're going to say that the Shabbos that they went out together on Chof Tes Iyar, where did that take place? In Rephidim or in Olus? Right after that story, it says that they journeyed to Rephidim. After the story is over, the month. So presumably this story that they went out together mud on Shabbos was still in Olus. It only talks about the journey from Rephidim after that. The problem is, where are you going to fit Melchemes HaMolek if they're arriving at Har Sinai on Sunday and Melchemes HaMolek had to take place over a period of 2 days? They arrive in Rephidim, you had the water with the rock. Moshe had to hit the rock and get them water. And then HaMolek attacks them. And then it says, Machar Nochem Nitzah V'Rosh HaGivah. So where are you going to fit the mice, all the story of Rephidim within a day? It doesn't sound like you could have had them journey to Rephidim and all that happened in Rephidim, and then go to Har Sinai. If they're supposed to arrive at Har Sinai and Rosh Chodesh Iyar, you're cramming too much into too little days. Something strange. So you have to figure out some way, creative way, to figure out what Tosus could mean in trying to assign Chof Tes Iyar the day that they went out to gather man. One way to do it is to say Ein Mukdem Mucha BaTorah. In other words, this would have happened in Rephidim, although the Torah says they journeyed from Rephidim at the end of the story, but they would have journeyed to Rephidim, and Amalek could have attacked earlier that week, and they also went out to gather man in Rephidim on Chof Tes Iyar, even though the Pesukim talk about that story before it mentions that they journeyed to Rephidim. But somehow or other, something has to give in the way to work out the cheshbonos of the storyline. That's all within the Od Makshin, the second kasha. The old Makshin. But the Maisa Tosus Kasha is a Kasha regardless, because Tosus either way has shown you that you had at least one Shabbos, namely Kesbavir, that preceded the Shabbos Rishona, that even if that would be Chadezir, you have a problem. And what Tosus didn't even discuss is the possibility of Chesir being a problem or Rosh Chodeshir being a problem, because if you want to assume that Mara happened, Mara, the Mitzvah Shabbos was given to Mara right after Kriyas Yamsuf, then we could even have a problem with Rosh Chodesh Iyar being a Rei Shabbos Rishona, or if not that, then Ches Iyar being a Shabbos Rishona. Tosus doesn't go there. Tosus asks from Tezvav Iyar and possibly from Chavez Iyar, if we push off the Shabbos Rishona, Shabbos to Chav Tes, which has its own issues. But either way, Tosus leaves us without a terror. So basically, we have to figure out what is the relationship between Mara, which was a mitzvah Shabbos in Mara, which certainly had already a Shabbos or two or three afterwards, and you had the Shabbos of the Mon, where the Torah or the Gemara refers to it as a Shabbos Mishona. And that's really, that could be a springboard for many different possible mahalchim to try to understand what aspects of Shabbos became part of the mitzvah of Shabbos at Mara. What aspects of Shabbos could have become part of Shabbos at the Mon that could define it as Shabbos Rishona? And finally, what aspects of Shabbos could become part of Shabbos at Sinai? that's really what, again, that's the framework for everything we're going to be talking about. Now, Tosfos has the kasha because of the Gemara in Shabbos Pei Zayin and the other Gemara later on in the Sefer Shabbos of Shabbos Rishona. If you wanted to ask vary that question in a different way, I could ask it from the Pesach Seder. And that's from the Haggadah, from Dayenim. Because, and this is a question that you'll find in various Haggadahs. Because what do you have in the Haggadah? We have 15 levels of Dayenu, and we have Shabbos at the 10th level. And the question can be asked, why does it say first the Man and then Shabbos? After all, Shabbos preceded the Man because Shabbos was given in Mar. So instead of using the Gemara of Shabbos Mishona, you may not know that Gemara, but you know that Shabbos was given in Marah. So why does it talk about Shabbos after the Man if Shabbos preceded the Man? Another way to ask the question, who wrote Dayenu? We don't know. There are some who say Rabbi Akiva wrote it because his name is mentioned right before it, but it's hard to know for sure. Okay, so we know that there are different stages that Shabbos was given. We know that there's something called Shabbos Rishona, which is connected to the Man, which distinguishes that Shabbos from before. We also have a Gemara that seems to lump Mara in one category, and the journey from Rafid and Tar Sinai is going to be affected by Shabbos of Mara, and then the question of when Tchumen, whatever Tchumen means, will become applicable. Now, let's take everybody for a loop here, and even though we're going to be leaving ourselves hanging till tomorrow, but let's do it anyway. And that's to bring something that the Ramban says in Chumash on the Shabbos of Mara, and really, by extension, all of the mitzvahs of Mara. So, how do we know Shabbos was given in Mara? The Tosfos quoted, the Gemara quoted, the Drasha of Kashya Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. Right? That's the Gemara over here. And also in Sanhedrin, if you look a few pages ahead in your packet, you see the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Take a look on page 2. No, you don't have Sanhedrin? I don't know if I gave it to you. Maybe I didn't. Okay. Either way, okay. It's a Gemara Sanhedrin Okay. Kashya Tzivcha, I don't think you have it. I'm sorry, it's not in your packet. But it's also in Sanhedrin as well. Kashya Tzivcha Shemokecha B'mar. Now, we're going to look at the Ramban and Chumash. The Ramban and Chumash should be on your packet a few pages ahead. Maybe page number 6, okay? Now, the Ramban is in Parshas B'Shalach commenting on Rashi. The words in the Chumash and Mara are as follows. Sham Samlo Chokol Mishpat V'Sham Nisavu. 7 words. There, when they sweetened the water, he placed to them, the nation, Chokol Mishpat. Chokol Mishpat, some system of law. V'Sham Nisavu, there he tested them. So, very ambiguous words in the Chumash. So Rashi comments on the word. Now, we know that mitzvahs are given in Mara, so what mitzvah? Rashi says as follows. Some of the Mara Nasan Lam Nixash Parshios Shel Torah She is Asku Bahem Shabbos Aparaduma Vedinim. That's what we need to focus on. Rashi says in Mara he gave them a selection of sections of the Torah that they should be involved with. Rashi identifies Shabbos Paraduma Vedinim. So there's a lot of the Farshim and Rashi that are all over Rashi here. Rashi seemed to leave out one of the mitzvahs. What did Rashi leave out here? What did Rashi leave out? You just saw the Gemara, right? Tosfos quoted the Gemara of Sanhedrin. What did Rashi leave out?
Keep it
out of aim. So there's a lot of the Farshim Rashi gets there. Rashi did mention in Pashas Mishpatim when he talks about the mitzvahs that Moshe wrote down in the Sefer HaBris, that Klal Yisrael responded Nasa V'Nishma. We discussed yesterday in the Shir about the Bris of Matan Torah, where for Rashi took place before Aseret HaDibros. There Rashi does mention Kibbutz. So whatever reason Rashi omitted Kibbutz of the Ein, But Rashi mentions Shabbos and mentions a few other things. Dinim means the dinim of Mishpatim. It will give it in Mara on some level, the dinim of Binat Machabero, the dinim of damages and so on, all kinds of halachas for a society to function. Paraduma Rashi throws in, you have to know the Makar for that. And Rashi mentions Shabbos. So the Makar that we know about Shabbos is Kashet Sivcha, the Mara. Rashi quoted that in Chumash as well, in Beschana. Rashi quoted Kibbutz Eim as well. Here we have the Pasuk itself, Chokul Mishpat. You have to know that Shabbos have another source, maybe even the word chok, or it's just because of the Kashet Sivcha. Either way, Rashi includes Shabbos, but the language of Rashi is very interesting. Rashi says, in Mara, he gave them a selection of parshas of Torah she's asked over him. The Ramban is very sensitive to Rashi's language, and is medayik something very interesting from Rashi, that in conjunction with a very simple question in Pshat as well. If you look at the Ramban right on this page, the Ramban quotes Rashi, Russian Rashi, the Hebrash Rabbu saying, Rashi's getting this from Chazal. But the Ramban asks, Apashtakash, Vani Tama, Lama lo pires kana hukim ma'ela v'amishpatim. Why doesn't the Torah spell out what these mitzvahs are? And explain that they were taught. Right, so they were given as a mitzvah. The Yomar. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, Dav Espinei Yisrael, Ve'amayta Aleihem, that you should keep Shabbos, that you should honor your parents. Dinim, why doesn't it present it as if there was a tzivoy? Kasher Amar B'Parshas HaNizkaros L'mala, Davu Akladas B'nei Yisrael. Where is he referring to? He's referring to the beginning of Parshas HaChodesh, in Parshas Bo. Hashem speaks to Moshe B'Aaron, Hachor Yisrael Moshe Chadashim, Davu Akladas B'nei Yisrael, they should take a lamb on the 10th of the month, and so on, and they should put the blood on the doorpost, and they should shecht it ben harabayim, and all of the details of Karban Pesach and Matzah and eating the, with Maror and details and not only Chametz, the Dodos, and not eating Chametz. So there's an introduction. Davro Kardash Yisrael. Bechen Yasa Bechol Mitzvahs Ba'omoy, Ba'arvas Moab, U'Pesach Midbar. The Torah throughout Chumash, when there's a seaway for Kai Yisrael, from wherever it might be, it could be in Ba'omoy, it could be Ba'arvas Moab, Pesach Midbar. So there was always a way that Hashem, the Pasuk introduces Hashem Sivoy, and Hashem told Moshe to tell Bnei Israel. Why, with the mitzvah of Mara, does the Torah not present a Sivoy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the form of Dabel Bnei Israel? Question number one. Now the Rabban is going to focus on Lashon of Rashi to use that as a way to answer the first the Kashi just asked. The Lashon Rashi She'ama, Parshos She'yisasku Bahem. The Lashon of Rashi is the given parshas to be involved with. Mashma, shodiyim hachukim ha'em, ve'limed osam. He informed them about those chukim. He taught it to them, and he taught them, and he said, "Min Moshe, asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu letzavos eschem b'kach." Hashem will, at some point, command you regarding these mitzvahs. In other words, what the Rabban is saying is, they were not commanded in these mitzvahs. They were told these mitzvahs, and they were told the mitzvahs with the knowledge that Hashem would ultimately command them. Where do we find such an idea? The Rabban pulls out of the hat the following dogma. Al haderech shalamad Avraham Avinu es haTorah. In the same way that Avraham Avinu learned Torah, and Avraham Avinu was not commanded yet in the mitzvahs, but he learned Torah. The Ramban is saying that what happened in Mara was not sivui. It was being told that there's a mitzvah, being informed about the mitzvah, and being told that you're going to be mitzvah at some point in the future. What could be the reasons for this? Why wouldn't they just get the mitzvah? Why would they get the mitzvah in this kind of preliminary phase, which is pre-sivui? What's the idea? In order to cry yourself, should get comfortable with mitzvahs. That's number one. The ladas, if you kabel osam, the simcha v'tuvleva, and to see if they're going to embrace these mitzvahs with enthusiasm, with simcha. In other words, if they're accepted with simcha, that means that That's the first step. And then ultimately there's going to be a tzibui. Behu ha-nisayon sh'amar v'sham nisahu. That's what the nisayon is all about. V'sham nisahu. The Rabban plugs into this pshat of Rashi, although Rashi went a different pshat, by the way, in v'sham nisahu. That's not for us right now. A whole different idea. But the Rabban is explaining v'sham nisahu within the idea of Chazal that Rashi's quoting. They weren't yet commanded. It's a trial. It's a way of feeling them out. The way of getting them comfortable. V'sham nisahu. So what does nisahu mean according to the Rabban? What is this nisahu? What did, how did he translate nisahu? What did he do for them now?
Acclimate.
I think there are two ideas here. The Rabban is speaking very, very much to Kitzer. To acclimate is one idea, because nisahu means to give them experience, to give them, you know, nisayon is like to get accustomed. So that corresponds to the point of the Hagila of the Mitzvah. The Shem Nisahu, he gave them, he got them acclimated. And the other idea, Nisahu, is what we would normally translate it in the sense of a test. In other words, let's see how you do. So that's the second point. The Ladash and the Kabbalah of the Simcha, let's see how you do. Let's give you a few sample Mitzvahs. You're not commanded yet. Let's see how you do it. Let's see how you take to it. Let's see how excited you are. And then, if you're excited, obviously we know that there's lots to work with. We'll give you the formal commandment going forward. So the Rabban is trying to say that Nisahu has two connotations. One is a connotation of the Lashon Hergel, and that's the idea of the Hagila of the Mitzvah. And the other connotation is Nisayon in terms of Ladash, to see how you're going to do. Not that Hashem needs to know, but it's a way of checking out, of getting the bringing out the reality. When you give a Bechina, you want to see how the person does, so everyone understands where they're holding. So this is the way of Kari Strauss showing where they're holding in terms of whether they're excited, ready for mitzvahs. So this is a preliminary stage for Matan Torah. These are mitzvahs, but not commandments yet. They're mitzvahs that are given b'derech, like setting the tone for a tzivoy, but not a formal tzivoy. So who are you? The Sham Nisahu. The whole Dien, again, Rabban repeats that he's letting them know that there's going to be a tzivoy. So all the tzavim b'mitzvah. That he's going to get commanded mitzvahs, like the Zelsha Amar, Im Shamar Tishma Koshem Al Kacha, Bazanto Mitzvosav, which mitzvahs? Asha Yitzhaba Oshabahem, that I'm going to command you eventually. But the Ramban is creating from this chazal about Mara a whole new paradigm. Hadim Chadashos here. He's basing himself on the Lashon of Rashi and the fact that the Torah doesn't make it seem as if it was a Vaidab Hashem Moshe Tzavel B'nai Yisrael. But what was the mitzvahs of Mara meant to be? They were meant to be a stage which is to precede the tzibui, the formal tzibui. And the reason for this, the Rabban has two ideas that are very connected but distinct. The idea of the hargila and the mitzvahs, to get them acclimated, and to see how they will take in terms of the enthusiasm and the response that they'll have. But the formal tzibui didn't yet happen. What muscle can you think about in terms of this idea? That you're not yet commanding, but there's some kind of an acclimation period, and it's a way of seeing how they'll do. Where do you find such an idea? Paradigm is this. Chinuch. When you said chinuch, no?
I said yes.
Yes? So that too. So there are really two things. One is chinuch. A child pre bar mitzvah is not mitzuveh, but there's a mitzvah chinuch, so it exists not as a tzivui. The other example is actually Geirus. Geirus. A Geir is being told about mitzvahs. Maybe they'll have a connection. They'll start chewing it out. They'll start doing it at some level, but they're not yet commanded. And both of these ideas could lie within the words of the Ramban. Kai Yisrael didn't yet enter into the formal process of Geirus. The formal process of Geirus we discussed yesterday with the Bris of Har Sinai. But there was a Hodas mitzvah of the Geir. What's interesting is, this is interesting for many reasons, the Ramban doesn't directly mention the Mashal of Geirus over here, but the Ramban mentions the Mashal of Geirus in connection to the mitzvahs that Hashem gave, which for the Ramban followed Matan Torah. We discussed yesterday the whole section after, at the end of Yisrael, and most of Mishpatim, all those mitzvahs that Hashem gave Moshe after Matan Torah, but the Ramban, they came, right, the Ramban, those mitzvahs, but that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down in the Sefer HaBris, and read aloud. And Kari Yisrael said, Nasa v'nishma, the Ramban writes in the beginning of Parshas Teruma that the purpose of those mitzvahs that were given in conjunction with Matan Torah, that Kari Yisrael entered the covenant by reciting Nasa v'nishma on those mitzvahs, that's kedugmas that the Chazal say was supposed to tell mitzvahs over to a ger. So there the Ramban makes the direct reference to Hodas mitzvahs of a ger. And here the Ramban doesn't do it, but I found in a sefer of a Talmud HaRashba called Torah HaMincha that he mamish makes the connection of the ger over here, like you mentioned, the connection to Mara. But it could be it's not a spirit to the Ramban, because if you look in the Sugi in Yevamis and Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Gerus, it actually brings down that two times you do Hodas mitzvahs to a ger. One, at an earlier stage, when the ger is approaching you to become Jewish, so you do Hodas mitzvahs at that point. And then, the Shas HaTzvila, the Shas HaGeres itself, you do again Hodas mitzvahs. So, the same way that you have by an individual ger, twice Hodas mitzvahs at an earlier stage, and Hodas mitzvahs at time of the gerus, the Klal Yisrael are going through the gerus of Matan Torah. So, at the time of Matan Torah itself, they were given Pashas Mishpatim as the Hodas mitzvahs of the gerus of the Shas HaGeres. That would be the Ramban and Pashas Truma that mentions the Hodas mitzvahs of those mitzvahs. But what the Ramban has over here would be the earlier stage of Hodas mitzvahs that you also have by a ger. But this Ramban is fascinating on many, many levels, but it also runs into a major kasha, which we're going to leave everybody with, hanging. First of all, the kasha would be, how can the Ramban say that the mitzvahs of Mara were not commandments? When we saw quoted in the Gemara Shabbos that one of the sources that Shabbos was given in Mara and also Kibbutz Adayim was given in Mara is because of the pasuk in Veshchanan that says, Kasha Simcha Hashem Elokecha. Hashem says, observe Shabbos, honor your parents, Kasha Simcha Hashem Elokecha. So it's Mufurish that, and it says, we interpret that to mean going back to Mara. So it seems clear that the mitzvah was a commandment from Mara. The Ramban says it wasn't even a commandment. The Mamash Adavar Pella, how can you read the Pasuk if it wasn't a Tzivui? So you have to know, maybe there's a way to reinterpret Kasha Tzivcha to somehow mean conceptually, we have to know what we can think about to make the Pasuk fit. If it's not a formal mitzvah, but somehow it was meant to set the tone for the Tzivui, so what would you do with that? But I have a more basic question. A more basic question, and that's from the Gemara that we started with today. Mamash against the Gemara. This kasha is asked by many mefarshim. How does the Ramban going to deal with the Gemara that we began with, Pesayin on the James and Shabbos, when the Gemara discusses when the Klal Yisrael were able to travel, to leave Refidim on Shabbos before Matan Torah, or whether they had to wait until Sunday to leave Refidim, is dependent, says the Gemara, on whether, on the issue of Shabbos of Mara. In other words, do we say that in Mara they were commanded on Shabbos and also on Tchumen, or they were commanded on Shabbos but not on Tchumen? That's the Shalom of the Gemara. So it sounds like from the Gemara that, of course, they were commanded on Shabbos, and the question is whether Tchumen was included in the Tzivui. This is not hypothetical, this is not theoretical, this is actual halacha. Could they travel on Shabbos, given the fact that they had Sivri and Mara? So according to the Ramban, the Sivri and Mara was nothing but chinuch, a test to see if you're ready, but not yet a Sivri in a formal way. So how can the Gemara be discussing the real-life halachic issue of whether Klal Yisrael could or couldn't travel on Shabbos to receive him based on the Sivri of Mara, whether it included Chumash? According to Ramban, the Tzivui of Mara was only about Al Shem Ha'asid, the Hargilim B'mitzvah, the Ladash and the Kabbalah of the Simcha B'Tuvleva. And here the Gemara, Mamish, is working with the Tzivui of Mara to explain whether or not Karisa were permitted or not to travel on Shabbos. So Mamish, it seems to be a Mamish often a steer against the Ramban's Shah and Chumash that understands that the mitzvahs of Mara were not yet commanded, and here the Gemara is clearly assuming that they were. So that's a question we're going to leave and try to address in Yetzer Hashem tomorrow. We'll pick up from there what to do with this kasha, and we'll see where else that takes us. Anyone have any, you know, if you can lose sleep tonight, that's a good thing. If it's a, it's a major concert, what are we going to do with this? If you look at the packet, you may end up finding the answer. There is a there's a comment of the Nitziv. In a few places, you have it in Meshav Dabar, it's in your packet, page 7. You have it also in Chumash, discusses something fascinating in learning up the Pesukim and Parshas B'Shalach based on this Ramban. So that's a little bit we'll do, and then maybe we'll talk more about the Ramban in terms of the conceptual connection to Avraham Avinu and the idea of connecting Mara to Matan Torah in what sense. Again, all relating to the union of Kedushas Yisrael, the Kedushas Mitzvahs, Divuyei HaTorah, and all very much tied into the Yisodos of Shavuos and Matan Torah. Any questions? Yes.
Can we ask questions outside of, just before everyone leaves, like outside of this year? Is that Makos in the other? Is that okay?
Yeah, okay. So then if you're recording, Alex, you can close the recording, and then we'll take